But how? Where? What? When? We have looked at who saves. We have looked at, well, let me back up. One of the main purposes of this lesson is to help us to understand God better. To help us understand that what God has revealed in His Word was revealed with divine consideration. And it must not be taken lightly. So we have looked at the fact that Jesus saves, but how, where, when. We have looked at who saves. Jesus Christ saves. And He's the only person who saves. We have looked at the what in our salvation. There's not only a who in our salvation, but there is a what in our salvation. This is why throughout the book of Acts, in fact not just Acts, throughout the book, the various book of the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, the question of what keeps coming up. What must I do? So we have looked at the who and the what. We have started last week looking on the how. On the how of our salvation. There is, in fact, a how in our salvation. We ask that you learn much, because there is much to learn from this lesson. Last week we looked at the passage of Luke chapter 8 verse 18. In fact, almost the entire session of study last week was spent on that. We have also looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 13 or 14, Sunday night. We pointed out that in last week's Sunday morning lesson, that when Jesus Christ in the book of Luke chapter 8, 18, said at the first part of the verse, take heed how you hear. And then, like Jesus Christ moved on to a completely different subject, I pointed out, not to make the mistake in thinking that there was a disconnect between the first part of that verse and the rest of the verse. Then we pointed out that the divine how of doing things has always been of hell and heaven important. That's right. The divine how of doing God's bidding, carrying out God's directive, it has always been of hell or heaven importance. We therefore encourage you to listen and learn. Basic act a thing like praying and singing. Are we there? Are we there? We do that at every worship. We also do that at home. Basic act or activity like singing and praying must be done in keeping with God's law. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15.
What is it then?
What is it then?
I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also.
How must I pray, brother? With?
I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also.
So I ask the question again, you're right, brother. How must I pray?
With the understanding
and with the Spirit. You notice that we cannot just pray any and anyhow. That's right. Just praying to God, you know, just go to Him and talk to Him. The Bible says there's more to prayer than that. The verse is not finished.
I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also.
This, you know, is not fiction. What the passage is teaching that in praying and singing, if it is merely an emotional, irrational, or going through the motion thing, it will not be responded to by God. You get it? Wait, let me repeat that. If our singing or praying, wherever we pray, if it is just an emotional thing, an irrational thing, so we can pray just to feel good. Just like people have their Bible open at their bedhead and their pillow. To give them assurance. No, it takes more than that. It takes more than just having your Bible open in Psalms and put it at your pillow. Well, the Bible is telling us here that a prayer is a conscientious thing. And that if it is merely an emotional, an irrational thing, if it is just going through the motion, the Almighty God will not be responding to that prayer or that thing. Huh? How does God expect me to pray? With the Spirit and with the... How must we sing to please God? Don't just sing in the air. Hey, we have a nice time in the Lord. God didn't have a nice time. If it's just singing in the air, our rationality must be involved. Are we there? A passage which almost every Christian, every religious person here knows, and that is the passage of St. John chapter 4 and verse 24. God is, and anyone who worships Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Huh? Did you know that that is all about the how of worship? Did you know that what Jesus Christ is saying is exactly dealing with how we worship God? And the passage is teaching that you may not worship God just any and any way. Are we there? Huh? It is for this reason The Bible tells us about vain worship. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. It is for this reason the Bible tells us about ignorant worship. Acts 17:23. It is for this reason the Bible tells us about will worship. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 23. Because there is a heart involved in the way we worship God. What we must make sure is that when we engage in worship, it is done in such a way, it is done with God's all in consideration, so that God will accept it. Are we there? Some lessons some weeks ago, the passage of Exodus 40 came up. But look now at the passage again, quick brother, Exodus chapter 40. Let us hear it. Exodus 40, verse 16.
Thus did Moses, according to all that the Lord commanded him, so did he. And it came to pass in the first month.
What verse is that?
Verse 17.
What verse I gave you?
16.
Okay. Read 16 again.
Thus did Moses, according.
Thus did Moses,
according to all that the Lord commanded him. So
You understand? According to is dealing with the whole. Did you get it? Wait. Jonathan read verse 16. Look at verse 19.
And he spread abroad the tent over the tabernacle,
and
put the covering of the tent above upon it, as the Lord commanded Moses.
As the Lord commanded Moses, it means how God told him that it should be done. That was verse 19. Look at verse 20. 19 and 2 is 21. Look at verse 21.
And he brought back the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil of the covering and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses.
Someone, you're not reading from the King James. Could you borrow a King James? One translation say, according. Am I right? Look at that one, has according to.
It's King James.
One translation, it might not be, says according. The as, brother Fisher, is okay. Just that according to is understood more as corresponding to her. Okay, you have read verse 21?
Yes.
Okay, look at verse 23.
And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord had commanded Moses.
As the Lord commanded means it was done the way our whole God said. That was verse 23. Look at verse 25.
And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses.
Can you imagine a simple thing as lighting a lamp? As simple as that was, it had to be lit the way God dictated. That was verse 23, 25. Look at verse 27.
And he burnt sweet incense thereon, as the Lord commanded Moses.
As God, that means the way our whole God said it should be burnt. That was, let me see now, I think. There is a 29 there too.
And he put the altar of burnt offering by the door of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation and offered upon it the burnt offering and the meat offering as the Lord commanded Moses.
As the Lord commanded Moses. That was verse 29. Look at verse 32.
When they went into the tent of the congregation And when they came near unto the altar, they washed as the Lord commanded Moses.
They washed. Wait. Baptism. You see, when they washed in the lava outside, the basin outside, they had to wash the very way God says it ought to be done. How must it be done? According or as God said. That washing was a type of baptism. The Almighty God expects no less today. When we are baptized, we cannot have some ignorant person sprinkle a little water on our head and call it baptism. That's not how God says baptism ought to be carried out. Are we there? Note Romans 15:4. And somebody going to say, what does that have to do with the lesson? Let us hear it.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
You see, we are going to go now to some things that were written aforetime. That's right. Some things that were written even before the New Testament gospel. Let me hear it again, Jonathan.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime.
For whatsoever things were written aforetime.
Were written for our learning.
They were written aforetime. In for our learning. Everybody got that? Now notice this. 1 Chronicles 13 was written aforetime. Are we there? Let us hear it. That is 13:9-12. 1 Chronicles. This was written aforetime. Let us hear it.
And when they came onto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark.
May I? It's good that this is here so that we can have an idea. Good that this is still here. That we can have an idea. May I? This is the ark. This. It was a movable tent like structure, not permanent. I want you to get this. The Israelites were on the move all the time during the how many years? 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. This represents God's presence among the Israelites. We don't have time now to go to passage which tells us that, which where God says, I will meet you there, referring to the tabernacle. That this was where God met the leader like Moses, and God stated many times that the whole business of what goes on, went on here, represents God's presence. Remember, the tabernacle points to the church. Are we all there? Okay, now, the passage, so two things you will remember about. Okay, all this around here is the outer court. And wherever the tabernacle was pitched, the outer court also had to be fenced around. Because the average Israelite, the ordinary Israelite, could not come within certain distance of it. Simply because it represents God's presence. Now, the brother just read in the book of Romans 15:4 that whatsoever things were written before time, before now, was written for whose learning? That we may learn from them. Now, we are talking about God's house, so don't think I leave there. Now you're back in the book of First Chronicles, and it is chapter 13.
Verse 9. And when they came onto the threshing floor of Chilion.
Wait. You need a little further background. The Philistines, are we there? The Philistines have captured the ark. If you hear me use the word ark and tabernacle, it's the same thing. Capture it. And watch here. They were being blessed. That's fascinating. That's interesting. They were being blessed. When David heard it, knowing that it belonged to God's people, he got upset and went for it. Watch here now. Read on, brother.
Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark.
As it was being transported by the Israelites, one of the Israelites saw the cart, the new ten wheeler that David built for it. It shake, and this Israelite put his hand to steady the thing. Uzzah, read.
For the oxen stumbled.
Uh-huh.
And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah.
God's anger was kindled against Uzzah. Read.
And he smote him.
And God
smote him. Because
when I was a young boy growing up, Jonathan, and you use word like ignorant as I was, you were like smote. I mean, you rub your hand over me. You know, rub me down, you smote. But that's not what this means. It means God killing. That's right. And God killed Uzzah. It was all about this. Huh? And he died before the Lord. Read on.
Because he put his hand to the ark. And there he died before God.
What verse is that?
Verse 10.
Read on.
And David was displeased. Because
David was displeased. Here is something that belonged to the Israelites. It was in the hands of the Philistines. David went to fetch it. And a man got killed, an Israelite. David. You see, it's not just displeased. David was also confused. But David going to learn a lesson that we have to learn. Read on.
Because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day.
When it says to this day, it does mean 2016. It means up to the time the book was written, the place still wears that name. Read on.
And David was afraid of God that day.
Watch here now. And David was afraid of God that day. Wait, Jonathan. It doesn't mean it's only that day David was afraid, but he was especially afraid of God that day. Brother Mitchell, aren't we dealing with the whole in God's plan? That's right. David was afraid of God that day. Read now, brother.
Saying, how shall I bring the ark?
Wait. I don't like how you read over that house so fast. You take time with that, brother. Because you know when you are eating certain things, you don't want it to finish. You need to take time with that heart. David said,
how shall I bring the ark of God?
You notice what I see? It's not moving the ark that is the contention, am I right? It is how. Are we there? That is the contention. How do I know God had just tragically killed a man? An Israelite, David, knew something was wrong. Huh? And David realized that it's around The ark must be removed to be brought among God's people, the Israelites. But how must we move the ark? Are we there? Well, brothers and sisters, let the same chronicles. We are going from passage to passage that will shine light. Let us now look at chapter 13, verse 9 through 10. Well, you're there. Let us look at 15, 13 to get some more light on it. Let us have it.
For because he did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us.
I wonder if you see what I see here. Did you know that in chapter 15, you're at 13?
Yes, 15, 13.
Remember, we read 13, 9 following first. Now we are at 15, that is chapter 15 and verse 13. Now, read verse 13 again. Notice this.
For because he did it not at the first.
Wait. David speaking. He said, because you did it not at the first. But didn't they do it at the first? What we gather here, if a thing is not done right or properly, it's not done at all. He said, because we did it not at the first. But they did it. They tried to move the ark. That's what is under consideration here, you know. The same thing as we're going to see. They tried to move the ark previously. But David is now saying, we didn't do it. Simply mean we didn't do it. Oh, God stated. We didn't do it correctly. Because we did it not. Huh?
Not at the first.
At the first.
The Lord our God made a breach upon us.
God made a breach upon us. Wait. What is that breach? When the Almighty God killed Uzziah. Huh? But the subject to ponder here was God's house. Look, you read from verse what a while ago? 13.
Partway through 13.
Wait, look at 12, brother, to get a better background.
And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites.
That's verse 12?
Verse 12.
Let me hear verse 11.
And David.
That's the verse.
And David called for Zadok.
I want you to listen. And David called for whom?
Zadok.
Zadok.
And Abathar.
Uh-huh.
The priest.
The who?
The priest.
We are getting somewhere now. Because up till now, you know, you don't understand why God killed Uzziah. So we are giving God a chance to enlighten us. David realized why Uzziah was killed. So David is about to do the thing correctly now. Right. You see, when we realize that we have gone wrong, we must correct our error, doctrinally or whatever. So David now calls for the priest. I want you to notice the reading. Because what he's doing now, he didn't do it the first time. Somewhere in this verse, I'm going to be pointing out that we can become carried away by zeal. That's right. You see, and we have to be careful that zeal and whatever else does not carry us away. Let me hear verse 11, dear brother.
And David called for Zadok and Abathar the priest,
mm-hmm.
and for the Levites.
Uh-huh.
For Uriel,
uh-huh.
Asaiah, and Joel, Semaiah, and Eliel, and Abinadab, and said unto them.
Notice now, it's important that you observe as much as you can. Notice now. Remember, after the Almighty God had killed an Israelite because he touched this, David is telling us where was the problem. What was the issue? Of course, generally, God's power was involved. And from David's own mouth, how are we going to move it? That's what we are delving into now. How should the ark be removed? David beckoned to the priest and read, brother.
And said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites.
That's right. What you're going to learn in a little while, not just from this text, is that the Almighty God has stipulated that the Levites should be the one to move it. And you're going to also learn that Levi had three sons. And the descendants of those three sons have different responsibility in moving the ark. But let us read down to learn. And David said what, brother?
Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites.
You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites.
Sanctify yourselves.
Set yourselves apart. Purify yourselves. Cleanse yourselves.
Both ye and your brethren.
Both you and your brethren, fellow Levites and priests.
That ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God.
You are getting the picture now? Set yourself apart. Purify yourself. So that you may bring up, that you may transport, that you may carry the ark. Read on.
The ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it.
Read on.
For because ye did it not at the first.
That's right.
The Lord our God made a breach upon us.
That's right. The ark was moved, but David did not involve the people that God had specified. You see. Read on, brother.
For that we sought him not after the due order.
There is, in fact, a due order. What does the word due order mean, brother Mitchell? How should it be done? Always remember when you hear this term, due order, it means the God's house. Let me see if any little thing left, dear brother. Read on a little more.
So the priests and the Levites.
I want you to listen to this.
So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel.
Read on.
And the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders.
How did they bear it?
On their shoulders.
Somebody here didn't get that. They were thinking of their rice and peas home. Now come back to the left. How did they carry the ark?
Upon their shoulders.
How was it carried before? Up and a trailer. God did not want it to be carried on a trailer pulled by horses or whatever. You get the point? But we are going to come back to that. A lot of times, in thinking that we have improved things, David felt that he was no modern, he was progressive. Instead of the ark being carried by the Levites upon their shoulders, David built a cart. You see how progressive I am? You see how smart I am? Smart? And you caused God to kill the man. That's right. But we are coming back to that. Brothers and sisters, let us move on. Okay. We got that. As I said, God has a due order. But to understand all this, carrying it on their shoulder, we need to run now to the book of Numbers when the rule of carrying the ark was laid down. Numbers chapter 3, verse 30 to 31. Legal theory. And chapter 7, 6 through 9. Quick. 30 through 31 of the book of Numbers, chapter 3.
Because all the firstborn are mine.
Uh-huh.
For the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto thee all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast.
Read on.
Mine shall they be. Mm-hmm. I am the Lord.
Read
and
on.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi after the house of their father.
To listen to this. The Almighty God is laying down how the ark should be removed. And brothers and sisters, this, you know, has great implication for us. There are very important lessons to learn from removing the ark, transporting it. I pointed out, and most of us know, the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Look here. As they traveled, they would make camp. They may travel a 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 miles for the day, and they make camp. This always had to pull down and set up again. But one of the lessons coming up, I don't know if it's next Sunday, is this. Being on the move, but remain the same. Being progressive, but nothing added to or taken from. This was the nature of removing it. Being on the move, but it must remain the same. Being progressive, meaning it did not stay at one place. But nothing should be added or taken away from it. A lesson coming up that theme. Now help me now find where I am. We are in the book of Numbers chapter 3
or 4.
Let us hear it.
We're at verse 15.
Read, brother.
Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families. Every male from a month old and upward.
Is that Numbers chapter 3 verse 13?
13 following. We're now at 15.
Wait. No. 13.
30
and 31. And chapter 7, 6 through 9.
And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Gothamites shall be Eliphaz, the son of Uzzel.
Oh, okay. Wait. Read that again.
And the chief of the house of the father of the families of the
Gothamites
shall be Eliphazan, the son of Uzzel.
Mm-hmm.
And their charge shall be the ark.
Their charge shall be the ark. Read on.
And the table, and the candlestick,
mm-hmm.
and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary,
mm-hmm.
wherewith they minister,
mm-hmm.
and the hanging, and all the service thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be the chief over the chief of the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
And have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary.
What verse is that?
32.
Okay, let us hear 7, 6 through 9.
And Moses took the wagons of the...
Jonathan, you turn again to chapter 3, 14 through 17 this time. Read, Brother Webb.
And Moses took the wagons of the oxen and gave them unto the Levites. Two wagons and four oxen he gave unto the sons of Gershon, according to their service.
Uh-huh.
And four wagons and eight oxen he gave unto the sons of
Merari.
According unto their service, under the hand of Ithamar.
Uh-huh.
The son of Aaron, the priest.
Uh-huh.
But unto the sons of Kohath, he gave none. Because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders.
Now that is The Kohathites. Is that right?
The Kohathites, right.
Yes, okay. Now, to understand a little better before I go on explaining, let me hear Numbers 9. Wait, read on a little more, Brother Webb, because you don't read verse 9 yet.
That's verse 9. But unto the sons of Kohath he gave none, because the service of the sanctuary belonging unto them was that they should bear upon their shoulders.
Where?
Upon their shoulders.
Where should they carry the ark?
Upon their shoulders.
You will remember with me, brother, that David got modern and Bila Trela. Huh? Mm-hmm. And God kill a man there, because God had specified from the wilderness that the choir that sprung from Levi should carry it on their shoulder. Let us hear Numbers 3:14 through 17. Quick, brother.
And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families.
Remember, the priest should come from Levi. Read on, quick, brother.
By their families. Every male from a month old and upward.
Read on.
Shalt thou number them.
Read.
And Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord God.
Read.
As he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names.
These were, you see, there are three sons. There are three sons. These were the sons of Levi. I'm taking them, Moses said, by their name. What are their names?
Gershon.
You have Gershon, from which come the Gershonites. Read on.
And Kohath.
You have Kohath, from which come the Kohathites. Read on.
And Merari.
And you have Merari, from which come the Merarites. What? Read on.
And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families. Libni.
Okay, you may stop there. May I, brothers and sisters, just quick. Look here. Carrying the ark. These were all three men from the tribe of the Levites. Their daddy was Jacob's son, Levi. God specified that all the priests should be taken from that tribe, the Levi. Now, in transporting this, the Almighty God made specification. Every time they move from one camp to the other, everything here had to be moved. But it had to be moved by God's call. So the Almighty God specified the job that those sprung from these three sons would bear. Now, for one, the Gershonites were to carry the various coverings and curtains of the tabernacle. That is the Gershonites. The Merarites. These were the carpenters, the builders. They were responsible for carrying the structural frame of the tabernacle. That is, all the structural frame of the tabernacle. They were not to carry any of the holy things. You get the point? Only the structural frame. But notice now, the elite of the Levites were the Kohathites. They were the elite of the Levites. They were to carry the sacred or holy things. See, my mind get back now to where God killed Hosea. But we are getting there in a few minutes. Now, God Paul dictates that the Kohathites carry it on their shoulder. But here is God's specification. They should carry this when it was pulled down, packed. Get me now. Watch here. They, the Kohathites, were not the one who pull it down and pass it. It had to be done by priests. Watch here. They could not look on it while it was being passed. And while it was being passed, they should not touch any of the holy things. The candle, the showbread, the altar of incense, the ark of the covenant, the lava, the brazen altar, they should not touch our sin. That's the Kohathites, you know. They are the elite. They carry, but they should, while it was being packed, it was being packed from inside. And they could not listen, God, on that. Listen, the Almighty God, on that. Look at chapter 4, verse 15 and verse 20. Let us hear it.
And when Aaron and his sons had made an end of covering the sanctuary.
Aaron and his sons mean the priests. They were the one responsible for pulling down and patching. There is an interesting thing about the altar of shewbread and the candlestick. Quite interesting, that says a lot about the church. We will not get to that this week. Now, read, brother, verse 15.
And when Aaron and his sons had made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward after that.
No, as the camp is to set forward, they are about to pull up camp and move on.
After that, the sons of Kohath,
which means the Kohathites,
shall come to bear it.
They shall come to carry it. How should they carry it? On their
shoulders.
Don't get modern with God. That's right. Don't build any trailer. Don't build any car. On your shoulder. Read.
But they shall not touch any holy thing.
You all get that? But Madam Chenna, them carry. Sometimes the Almighty God gives them all detail, but it is important. They shall not do what, brother?
Touch any holy thing.
They shall not touch any holy thing.
Lest they die.
You all get it? The people who packed these together, the altar of incense, the table of shewbread, the candle holder, they were the priests. They could touch it because they have to minister around it daily. But the Kohathites, while they were from the priesthood tribe, they were Levites. And while they were the elite, they were not to touch anything. Lest what?
Lest they die.
You think God will make joke now? Because that's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. Lest they die. But Brother Mitchell, haven't we seen that in the book of Chronicles? Yes! You're getting to understand it now. Look at verse 20.
But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered.
Wait, you understand? Here now, they're about to move from one place to the other. Huh? The priests, they are inside the holy place, and the holy of holiest, putting, most likely the high priest, putting the things together to move on, to do some more traveling. They are going on to the holy land. What he said, they shall not go, that is, brother Webb, the Kohathites
shall not go in.
No, they believe I. What? They should not do what?
Go in to see when the holy things are covered.
Everybody heard that?
Lest they die.
If you just look and if you die. We don't have time. One occasion, the Almighty God killed quite a few thousand Philistines. While it was among them and they did not show disrespect for it. They were being blessed. But on one occasion, a Philistine did something. And the Almighty God killed quite a few thousand, if my memory serves right, 40 or 60 thousand. Ooh! Brother, where did he say if they look at it, they die?
Lest they die.
Lest they die. Everybody get it? During the process of packing, the holy things were hidden from sight and removed from touch. It was a hell and heaven important then. And may I'm trying to wrap up. That's so much to fear. It is still a hell and heaven important. One, that we know God's will, that we respect what God says, and that we remember what God says. Proverbs says that there is a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. What we see in Chronicles. In fact, look here. I think probably this is the last passage, brother. Quick, turn to 2 Samuel 6:3. I think this is the last passage. Please, quick. 2 Samuel chapter 6, did I say verse 3? Read.
And they set the ark of God upon the new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the cart, the new cart.
Okay, may I? The emphasis here is the new cart. The new cart. May I? I'm making a few final statements and close because so much. Our best interest and our best intention are on many occasions contrary to the will of God. Our best intentions, our best activities that in our eyes look okay are on many occasions against us. Remember a while ago I said that it is of hell and heaven important, one, that we know the will of God, that we respect the will of God, and that we remember the will of God. When David attempted to move the ark, David was overcome with zeal, anxious to take it from the Philistine and bring it where it was. David was overwhelmed with good intention and therefore forget how it should be moved. God killed Uzziah. The new cart was not how God says. Huh? We must watch. And yes, brother, you are right. Watch and be careful that newness. Oh, Lord. That newness and being modern and progressive does not cause us to overstep God's heart. That's what happened to David. Excited over the new trailer that he built. Excited over this newness and modernness and progressiveness. Nothing wrong with newness. Nothing wrong with being progressive. But make sure that God all is remembered. Make sure that newness, progressiveness does not make God's directive look outdated. The sin that Uzziah committed sprung from three sources. Ophir was the man that God killed. It sprung from one. From all indication, he was a non-Kohathite. Two, he was not the person to touch the ark. Three, it was not to be carried on a new cart, any cart whatsoever. It was to be carried on shoulder. So now we understand, God had set his people not only to carry the ark, but how it is to be carried. Let us watch that our zeal and our good intention does not lead us astray. Watch also that religious men and women out there with their zeal and good intention does not mislead you. Because there's too much zeal and good intention out here. Take them to David in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 13, verse 9 through 10. Take them to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 15, verse 11 following, and show them that David had good intention. David had zeal. But nothing must interfere with God's power. If you're here today, oh Lord, I'm sorry I didn't get to that. Did you know that the book of Romans, when the book of Romans tells us, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Then the passage went on to tell you that when you become a Christian, you die with Jesus Christ. You are buried with Jesus Christ. Did you know in that passage it is showing us the hall of baptism? The hall of baptism. You are buried with Christ. Today you can come forward accepting Jesus Christ the right way. God's house, as we stand, Jesus Christ calls.